I hope you've enjoyed the 1 John series. It comes to a close today, hopefully. But no, we've learned a lot of good things, and so I want to review today. And I want to pray because we've got to deal with some difficult passages of Scripture. Dr. Ward and I have wrestled with this since this series, and I still don't have an answer. We don't have a definite answer. But I think we have some concepts of what God has taught us as a congregation through 1 John. So I want us to pray what you just heard sung. Word of God, what?
Speak.
Speaking to my life, speaking to my heart, bring certainty and absolute security in my existence with Jesus Christ. There's two things you've definitely heard in the letter of 1 John. Jesus is it. He is the Son of God. He is crucified. He is resurrected. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And there's no other possibility to salvation except in who?
Jesus
Christ. Now, the good news about John, and one of the reasons I love the Gospel of John and in the thought patterns of John, he embraces the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all understand here at Hillview Heights Church? We're a church that embraces the full power of the Holy Spirit. That means this. Your pastor believes this. I believe in all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in all the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now, here's something I believe where I'm a little different. I believe the gifts ought to bear the fruits. And if the gifts don't bear the fruits, then they're not really the gifts. But I believe in the real gifts, don't you?
Yes.
I believe that God speaks to us. How many of y'all glad to know that God speaks to us? I'm not talking just through the Bible only. I'm talking about the presence of God still speaks audibly into our lives. And you say, well, Pastor Ayers, I can't hear him. It's probably because you're not beyond the music and you're not beyond the noise. And so today, I pray this. I know in my life, I'm a noisy person. How many of y'all any of y'all just noisy? I'm addicted to noise. I want to confess that to you today. I'm addicted to noise. Sometimes I'm by myself, and sometimes I don't like being by myself. You know why I don't like being by myself? It's too quiet. I might hear something. And sometimes when we get with God, I think we're scared to hear what He might say. I don't know about you, but my problem has never been that I can't hear God. My problem is I've heard Him. And He's very clear. And He's very concise. And He's very detailed. And He tells me exactly what He wants from my life. I just don't like what He says. How many of y'all have ever heard from God and you just didn't like what He said? I mean, He says stuff like this. Love your enemies. I said, well, God, can't I be mad on this one? God, this person's really a punk. And you know what He says? You know what? I died for the punk you don't like. God loves Iraqis. Watch this. Iraqis are not Jesus' enemy. Iranians are not Jesus' enemy. Americans are not Jesus' enemy. Russians are not Jesus' enemy. The Asian culture is not Jesus' enemy. Africa is not Jesus' enemy. In fact, you've got to come to this conclusion. God has embraced the whole world and loved them through the cross. Now, that's amazing, and quite frankly, that's just deeper than I can understand. I wish I could stand for you as your pastor and say, you know what, as your pastor, I can love like that because I'm on my way. I'm on that journey. I don't love like that. I still get mad. I still have prejudice in my life. Do you all still have prejudice in my life? I'm prejudiced against stupid people. I don't like stupid people. I just want to confess that to you guys. I mean, people that are stupid make stupid decisions, and these people really grate me. When you show them the way and they make the same stupid decision again, I'm prejudiced against that. Guess what I want to do? I don't want to have any mercy. But guess what God says? Sometimes when I get real still and get beyond the music and I get beyond the noise, guess what? And I get real quiet and I get real meditative. And Jesus says, you know what, Steve Harris, you're very stupid sometimes. And I love you. Because you know what? How many of y'all have ever made the same stupid decision twice? Me too. And God's love keeps coming on. And we hear that in 1 John. Now, and before I pray, I want you to hear this out of 1 John. There's three things I see come screaming out of 1 John. Stay with Jesus. Stay with Jesus. Love one another. These are commands. Stay with Jesus. Love one another. And know you have the power to do it. Stay with Jesus. Love one another. And know that you have the power to what? do it. So we're going to sum it up. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray that the song that we just heard sung so beautifully by Jevin, Father, would just flow into our prayer right now. Word of God, what, church? Speak into our lives in such a way that we would be reshaped forever and ever. Amen? All right. First thing, you got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to pull out some things from there. Jesus is everything. So just say that with me. Jesus is everything. When we start coming to church, it better be about Jesus. It better be about Jesus. Now, folks, you remember when we first started this series, what did I tell you God was battling against? Through this letter, he's battling against false teaching. Now, guess what? Do you think your pastor ever has to deal with false teaching? Hello! Yeah. In fact, some of you, sometimes when I'm preaching, guess what? You'll go, why did he say that? Well, I just want to give you a heads up. Sometimes when I say things, they're to call off a wolf that we got in the congregation. And guess what? I care enough about every one of you in here, I don't want you to be led astray. And here's why. Wolves smile a lot. They quote a lot of Bible verses. They have pretty teeth. They say amen. They say hallelujah. They sound like the real thing. You say, well, how in the world do I know if I got a wolf or got a prophet? You must learn to listen to people. When they're teaching and when they're preaching, do you hear more about what Jesus is doing or about what Jesus is doing through them? You see, I really don't care about what Jesus is doing through them. I care about what Jesus will do. You notice the writer of 1 John doesn't use this word at all through the whole letter. I. The only time he uses I is he says, I write these things to you so that you might know who Jesus, who has been crucified, resurrected, is the way, the truth, the life, the everything. Stay in voice of Jesus. Somebody say, that's right. Come on, that we got to stay with Jesus. Now, here's why. Because when we embrace Jesus, guess what? We overcome the world. We've heard that. We're capable of loving one another. We've heard that, aren't we? And we can move in the full power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand something. I'm going to try to touch the Trinity for just a moment. Because the Trinity begins to open up part of this difficult question we're going to have to deal with today. You ready? First of all, how many of y'all realize this? God created us. Okay, that's a part of God, isn't it? That's not all of God, but that's a part of God. God created us. Another part of God, there's God the Father. God. Godhead. Leader. Creator. Let there be light. And then God redeemed us because we fell into sin. How many of y'all have gotten that down so far? I'm a sinful human being no matter how good I am. I'm a sinful human being no matter what I've done. I got to be redeemed. How many of y'all got that out of 1 John? Nick, you got that, didn't you? I got to be redeemed. You say, Ayers, why do you punch on that so much with us? You go around the Bowling Green, Kentucky area, most people are going to tell you they're going to go to heaven because they're a good person. Now, y'all know that. Floyd, you know that's true. You do a lot of witnessing. When they're over at the shop, what do they say? They look back there. Now, Floyd, it's religious stuff. I'm as good as anybody else. You ever heard that? About 4,000 times? You know why? You know why that existed? A false teaching came into the churches of Bowling Green. Nobody called it out. And now we've had a plethora. That means a whole bunch of people that have been deceived in the South because we let these preachers tell everybody if they were good morally, they were going to go to heaven. You know what scares me? We got a lot of good moral people in hell now because of that false teaching. You say, well, won't God give them a break because they did all these good things? Here's the problem with that line of thinking. What is good compared to Jesus? Jesus said, your meager attempts to look like me are as filthy rags compared to the glory and the power and the perfection of heaven. So God said, I don't want you to try to be me. I want you to embrace my redemption. And in that, you will become like me. Is that making sense? Give me a head nod or not. Okay, we're going to deal with some stuff today, okay? And this is 8 o'clock, so this is the coach talking to the team. We're going to deal with the details, all right? You ready? We're going to deal with the details in this service. And so he said, there's a testimony. Jesus will prove himself. Does everybody get that? So don't waste your time defending God. God has got it together without our help. Y'all understand that? It was about this time of year, a long time ago in my life, I actually went to the Southern Baptist Convention. there at that time in my life, a very young pastor, I realized that the institutions of religion were flawed, to say the least. I did have the privilege, though, in that convention that was held in Atlanta, to hear a great preacher, Dr. Bill Self. Here I was, a young, impressionable preacher, and I heard him say something I've never forgotten in my whole life. Dr. Self, who pastored Wewooka Roads Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, said this. He said, young preachers, all preachers, our job is to not to defend God. He's big enough to defend himself. Our job is to bear witness and testimony to the activity of the cross. I said, that man spoke truth. How many of y'all spend a lot of your time defending God? Here's what you'll spend a lot of your time doing, defending God's followers. See, I blow people away in the world. They'll bring up some religious figure and they'll go, he's an idiot. I said, you're right. He's an idiot. He acts like an idiot, makes decisions like an idiot. He goes, that doesn't bother you? I said, his way is not what saved him. Jesus Christ is what saved him. His decision-making pattern, or her decision-making pattern, is not the act of salvation. Jesus Christ is the act of salvation. Now, me and you got to have a conversation because you're an idiot too. You make decisions that are absolutely not good decisions. Now, how are you going to get redeemed of those? Second part of the Trinity, the Redeemer, Jesus the Son. He bears testimony to himself. And then we got this third part of the Trinity, and they're equally important. All three are equally important. You want to stay in balance in your faith, all three are equally important. There is a Holy Spirit. That Spirit is a person. That Spirit is real. That Spirit is alive. And that Spirit testifies to Jesus Christ. Now, if someone's speaking in the Spirit, they're going to be speaking Jesus is Lord. And if they're speaking anything else, let me put it where you can understand it in Kentucky. That ain't the Holy Ghost. And by the way, the Holy Ghost isn't real concerned about your personal finances. The Holy Ghost is concerned that you glorify Jesus Christ. Because here's what he knows. When Jesus Christ is glorified, everything else in the rest of your life, finances, social, relationships, marriages, children raising, everything in your life will come to a completion. In who? Jesus. So Hillview, I'm just going to tell you right now, we're going to stay in Jesus. Amen? There's only one reason this church has survived and made impact for 17 years. You want to hear what it is? And it's sure not the decision-making patterns of our leadership. God knows it hadn't been our staff. It hadn't been our deacon elders. Dale, I hate to disappoint you, it hadn't been our financial savvy. Guess what's held this church together? We have refused to leave the cross and the resurrection. No matter what was going on the outside, we said we're going to hang on to the cross. And I've had a few moments here at this church. I was hanging on to a splinter of the cross. I wasn't even hugging the full deal. But I had just enough of the cross to get me through. But now I got to preach. Because guess what I found? A splinter from the cross is enough to get you through the evils of this world. That's how strong it is. And guess what? I don't have to hug the cross because it's already hugged me. See, here's the good news. It isn't about me holding on. It's that Jesus has grabbed hold of me. And he said, and he's grabbed hold of you, and he's grabbed hold of our church, and he says, you will testify to me. Now look what it says right here. 1 John chapter 5. It says, this is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. He's not like John the Baptist who came only by water. He said, I'm going to baptize you in water for the repentance of sin. Jesus said, I'm going to redeem you with the blood for the forgiveness of sin. There's a difference in those two. You know, we have some denominations that believe that through the power of the water, you're forgiven. Well, the water is not what has the power. It's the water and the blood. You got to put the two together to make it work. Now, I also believe our denomination has kind of not emphasized baptism enough. But worse than not emphasizing baptism enough, it hasn't emphasized this enough. You are born again when you find Jesus Christ. It says, guess what? The water's going to bear testimony. Look what he says here. He says, and it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. And there are three that testify. the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. I believe water has twofold. Water speaks there of baptism, but I think it also speaks of new birth. What happens before anybody's born? What comes forth? Water. What happens as soon as Jesus Christ comes into your life? I want you to hear the truth. What enters into your life? The Holy Spirit. When I was young, I hung around these people and they said, "Are you saved?" And then they'd say, "Are you filled with the Spirit?" I said, "What are you talking about? I'm saved. Jesus doesn't come like a choo-choo train. Jesus Christ brings me everything He has as soon as I come into salvation." Now, you can understand this. Guess what? You look just like you do right now the day you were born. You following that? Think about that, Pooh. Claypool, you look just like what you... When did you start looking like you look right now? The moment you were conceived. It's just now been revealed you were going to look like that. Does that make sense? But in your DNA, every pattern in your physical was set for what you're going to become. When did you get these hands? The moment you were conceived. When do they? How do you know they look? Right now. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit that has Jesus. Now, you got a choice to make with the Holy Spirit, though. Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to direct your life? Are you going to allow the power of the Holy Spirit to get in your mind and in your will and in your emotions and begin to live in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's your decision. You have the capability in Jesus Christ. Now you got to decide to release the power of the Holy Spirit. And guess what, church? We've barely done that. What God would really want. Here's the testimony. The three are one. They testify. The blood of Jesus. The water. The new birth. The power of baptism. And guess what? Guess what? Guess what? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, verifies that Jesus is true. How do you know you're saved? Okay, there's a feeling. Somebody said, "I feel it." Okay, there's some truth to that. I have a feeling, I have a certainty that comes from somewhere beyond myself. I give that validity, don't you? Is it feeling alone, though? Okay, don't try to base your faith on feeling alone, because you might eat bad pizza one night and fall out of grace, okay? It's not feeling only, okay? There's a truth that'll set you free. You see, the Holy Spirit, what did it say right there in the text the Holy Spirit was? Come on, I want y'all to learn something here. The Holy Spirit is never defined as a feeling. Don, you've studied this scripture intensely. Have you ever seen the Holy Spirit defined as feeling? I haven't either. But how many of us have grown up in traditions where we thought the Holy Spirit was there because we had some kind of emotional stimulation? But it's interesting that when we go to the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God to be absolute truth. How many of y'all believe it to be absolute truth? Here's the problem you got with this preacher. I believe that Word is what is true. The Spirit is beyond feeling. It's truth. Look what 1 John said. He said, this Spirit is truth. And truth in your life is verification of Spirit-filled living. Here's the truth. When you die, where are you going to go? How you know? I'm going to get you off from thinking too much. Jesus said I was. So you got to learn how to walk in the testimony. How do I know I'm saved? Jesus said I was. How do I know I'm going to heaven? Jesus said I was. How do I know my life is going to reach its full potential? Jesus said that He would finish the work He started in me. Church, you want to see this church take off in a massive, impacting kind of congregation? Start believing what Jesus said and activate it in your life. The three testify that Jesus is the way. There is certainty in our salvation, because here's what I can tell you, folks, what Jesus says is. Now let me show you, verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. Say amen. If you got Jesus in your life, what do you got? You got a life. Look at your neighbor and say, you got a life. And if they don't have a life, tell them to get a life. This is what we're doing every Sunday. This is simply every Sunday what we're doing. We're celebrating the life we have been given in Jesus Christ. We're celebrating that life. And we're giving opportunity for those that don't have it yet to get it. Does that make sense? Ms. Ann, two things go on here every time we meet. We're celebrating the life that's been given, and we're giving opportunity for others to get the life that has been given. Okay, now that's what Hillview's about. And I know sometimes y'all get frustrated with me. I want y'all to hear something. I want to talk to you plain. Did you know if we were to do everything everybody asked me to do and everybody that came by my office and said, the Lord's told me to tell you that we need to do this. And I said, well, you tell the Lord to give you some money and you go do it. If the Lord's told you, you're the one that ought to fund it. Lord tells them everything. Well, guess what? Guess what the Lord actually told your pastor to do? We're to win people that don't know Jesus. Because you know what? There's very few churches in that business anymore. We're in every mission other than the mission. Man, I want to see people come to Christ. Amen. I want to compliment you guys. Y'all believe in this. I believe if people don't meet Jesus, they go to hell. It's that simple. How many of y'all believe that? It's that simple. You know, Coach Cox, I work with him, work for him. And, you know, I like to bring things down to simplicity, don't I, Coach? When I coach the defense, we got all these strategies, and defensive players get confused real quick. And they'll start looking at me and get these big wide-looking deer eyes and go, woo-woo. I said, find the guy with the ball and hit him, and everything will be okay. Sometimes we got to get it down to the simplicity. You and I better make sure we know Jesus Christ. Because what did he say right there? He who has the Son has what? Life. How many of y'all glad you got a life? Now what are you supposed to be doing? Living the life. Living the life. Well, let's talk about some things we ought to do. Okay, second thing is this. I want you to hear in review. Jesus is it. You got it? Jesus is it. Now you got to live under the power of the Spirit. Now let's go. What can happen in concluding remarks? I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. How many of y'all are glad to know you have eternal life? Well, look at your neighbor and say, I'm living forever. Come on, I want us to confess a little bit today. You got to confess with your mouth. Believe in your heart. I'm living forever. Tim Murley, I'm living forever. You ain't going to be done with me for eternity. I'm going to look you up in heaven and say something funny about you. Derogatory. God's going to give me permission. I said, where's Merle? I said, well, Lord, you didn't give him no hair in heaven either. How many of y'all know we're going to live the life? How many of y'all are living the life? It starts now, church. It starts now. How many of y'all love the life you've been given? Which is Mark Hale's ministered into my life, because sometimes I'm such a driven person that I miss the life I have in front of me. How many of y'all have ever done that? Any of y'all wired like that? I'm so focused on getting from point A to point B that when I get to point B, I don't enjoy it because I create another point C. But Mark Hale, he teaches me every day because this is the way he lives. He's grateful. That's the first thing. He's grateful to be living the life Jesus has given me. Well, guess what? That began to pour truth into my life. And I thought, you know what? I ought to be grateful for the life that I've been given. I've started embracing that, and I'm just telling you, it's a little better way to live. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to embrace it and live in it. I'm going to be certain that my eternity is secure, so I'm going to live out this day well. Does that make sense? Until you're certain of eternity, you'll always be anxious. And people say, well, Pastor Ayers, do you believe? I believe once Jesus gets a hold of you, he isn't going to let go of you. Because I don't believe you're stronger than Jesus. But now you got to make sure you're really saved. We got a lot of people, they're not really saved. They've gone to church. A lot of people just been baptized. That means you have a wet head. A lot of people have confessed with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, but never believed in their heart. It's both and, not either or. Now, once you are saved, how many of y'all got a new life? Nick Carter, I believe that the Spirit, the water and the blood testifies in your existence that you're not who you were 12 years ago. You came in divorced, and now you're married. What happened? God took over. And Sandy, it took God to make Nick like he was supposed to be. Amen? You realized you couldn't do it. He realized he couldn't fix you. And what's happened to your marriage? And God even gave you another child to bless it on a second, after halftime. Praise God. How many of y'all enjoy living the life? We got crazy things here that happen in Hillview. People have babies at 80 years old around here. I mean, it's great. Y'all watch out. If you ain't seen your adult ministry, don't think you won't be back in the nursery. Strange things happen at Hillview. Amen? Bugsy, you got a better life now than you did 6 years ago?
That's right.
That's right. See, this is real. David Jones, you got a better life now than you did away from Christ? Absolutely. Wow. Well, I think sometimes we need to be awakened that this is the best life we can possibly live, and it's in Jesus Christ. Now I think we need to live it. You know, I'm glad to be married for 23 years. You know why I appreciate Jesus Christ? Here's what I know. I could not have been married as long as I have without Jesus Christ. If it was left up to my personality, the way I react to life, the way I do things, Elizabeth would have grounds for divorce. That's the truth. People ask me all the time, Ayers, how come you don't get so messed up when people get, you don't get... I said, listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, I'd be divorced. If it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, I couldn't pastor this church. If it wasn't for the grace of God, that's where it all comes from. Jesus be glorified. And he goes on and says this, have confidence. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything, and please underline this, according to His will... Heard these preachers on TV talking about we have confidence for God if we ask Him anything. You know what? God really don't care that I have rims on my car. Now, I'm just telling you truth. When I die and go to heaven, God ain't going to go, man, there's some nice rims you had on your car, Harris. I'm glad you asked me for those. He's not concerned about that. God's not going to go, did you have an LCD screen or a plasma screen? Reverend Reynolds, he ain't going to ask us about that. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you will get in His will with His way, you'll know what to ask for. You start asking for stuff like this. God, give me the strength to be the best I can be at my job. Now you start doing that, what's going to happen? Mr. Carter, God's prospered you. Why? You got in His will, and you took your skills and your talent and the intellect that God gave you, and He's prospered you. True? I want some of these young men to hear that, because apparently we got a young generation that thinks what you do to prosper is sit on the couch with a remote control, and then they've heard one of these, teachers that said, just ask God and He'll give it to you. So they're sitting in a lazy boy with a remote control asking God to bless their life. Now let me help you. Where do you find any biblical indication of that? If you'd like a financial blessing, here's what I've found. Get a job. That helps with your financial blessing. Dale, you and Tim, I praise God for what you all do. You equip students so that if they have a good intellect and a deep intellect, they can develop their intellect so that they can go get jobs. Now, I'm going to preach just a little bit today. You know what? I was so proud of our students in this church. Many of them were top-of-the-line students. Now, I wasn't jealous of that. I wasn't a top-of-the-line student. When I graduated from seminary, professors stood up, and that was not because I was an honor grad. That was because I was finally leaving. And they were saying, thank you, Lord, for letting that out of here. But you know what? I praise God that we got students in our church, and guess what? I want them encouraged from their church to be as smart and sharp and diligent as they can be. Because you know what? I expect them to go change this world. See, I want top of the line of Christians walking in as the CEO. I want top of the line Christians as the President of the United States and as Congresswomen and as people that sit on the Supreme Court. And I'm not talking about people that just put bumper stickers on, we need to pray in school. I'm talking about people that are certain of the will of God and ask according to His will. That's what this nation needs. Not bumper stickers. Lifestyles that exhibit and give testimony by the what? By the blood, by the water, and by the Spirit. Amen? Now you go on and he says, guess what? We got to pray for one another. How many times have we heard that in this letter? 1,000. He said, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we can ask of Him. Now ask God for things. How many of y'all ever ask God this? God, my wife doesn't like me right now. Help her like me. That would be according to His will. Then He answers back like this. Stephen, you made a really stupid decision when you said that to her. Now, there's some other things in my word. It's called repentance. So if you'll go tell her you're sorry, then you can start communicating again. Stephen, you should not push your child in this direction. Let me lead them in that direction. See what I'm saying? God gets involved in everyday life. Anybody praise Him for that? God gets involved in everyday life. And then He tells us this, man. Pray for one another. Now He says, be concerned about each other. Now here's this difficult passage of Scripture. I don't have an emphatic answer other than this. All sin can kill you. All sin is a bad deal. But there are different effects of sin. Y'all understand that? There's different effects of the type of sin we get. Sometimes we sin and we're not even conscious of sinning. Have y'all ever done that? You just violated what God said. You just hadn't become aware of what God said yet in that area. How many of y'all ever done that? I'm calling this accidental. You know, you're just unaware. How many of y'all, though, got some intentional sin? You planned it. You plotted it. You knew exactly what you were doing. You knew exactly what God said. And you just went against God. Why is that a really intense way to sin? Because that was the first sin. And if you look at the first sin, it was rejection, it was rebellion, and it was denial of what God had clearly spoken. See, I think this. When we're not a church that wins people to Jesus, we're a church that stands opposed to what God said. When we're a church that doesn't attempt to reach the world and with the Word, guess what? We stand opposed to what God said. Now look at what He just said. Ask and stay in My will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And whatever you ask will be what? Granted. Now, He says, now if anyone, verse 16, sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There are sins that we have against one another. Would you agree with that? So what do we need? How many of y'all have ever gotten in conflict with each other? Some of y'all have been in conflict with me before, and I've been in conflict with you. How do we resolve that? Pray. Andy, you and I have gone at it before, haven't we? We've stayed friends because we're deeper than friends. We're brothers. Did you ever fight with your brother?
Sure.
Why? He was your brother. See, I think we got this whole church thing confused. We are family here. We're going to have some squabbles. Elizabeth and I fight. We try to do it once a month just to keep a healthy marriage going. That's real. I mean, what do you want me to do? Stand up here and give you some little hallmark idea of a Christian family that's just bogus? It's bogus. I'm so tired of the church being hallmark. We're not hallmark. We're Jesus Christ. We have conflict. We have tension. We have reality. Any marriage that tells me we've lived together for 50 years and never had a fight. Well, I tell you what, you've had one boring life. Because you've never lived either. Because you've never had a thought. You've never stood up for anything. You've never had any passion. You've never believed anything. When we get intense, now how do we work it out though? We pray with one another. And when we blow it with one another, guess what we say? I am sorry, I was wrong, and Jesus forgive us, and let's get on with life. That's the ability we have to live in here. Now what the world does, as soon as somebody does them wrong, they remember it for a lifetime. And they get all bitter, and they get vengeful, and I'm going to get them back. And guess what? You live your life like that, even as a believer, you're going to be a wadded up old person one day. If you just get relieved and realize this, all people make mistakes. All people say the wrong things sometimes. All people are not going to do it perfect always, but all people are valuable and loved by Jesus Christ. You'll live in the freedom and the truth of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I'm glad Jesus didn't hold a grudge at the end, aren't you? Aren't you glad when Jesus was hanging on the cross, He didn't say, Daddy, nuke them till they glow? Y'all better be glad I wasn't Jesus. I'd have picked out the ones I didn't like. I'd have let some come into heaven, but the ones I didn't like, I said, Dad, number 409669, nail them. And let me watch. Why? Because I don't have a nature full of heaven. I have a fleshful nature. The nature full of heaven says, on the cross, as pain and agony and suffering and tension are there in conflict, the pain of the cross says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, He said, Father, these creatures are limited. They can't see beyond today. But I am looking through all of eternity. And I am seeing what you've created, what you thought, who you are, what you're about, how intense you are, Jesus. And forgive them because I want them to know the glory of who created them. Wow. And then they... Now it says this, there's a sin that leads unto death. He said, now brothers, and I've wrestled with this. Lord Jamie, how long? Almost a year. And I told Dr. Ward, I'm going to find this sin that leads unto death. I didn't find it. I don't know what it is. I've read 600 opinions. And they came to the same conclusion I do. I don't have the exact information of what the writer is talking about here. But I do have a concept I want you to be aware of. He says, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead unto death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin. And there is sin that does not lead to death. Here's what I know. Anytime you and I absolutely in full conscience decide to reject what Jesus has said, we put ourselves in a very dangerous position. Now, I'm going to tell you right there, here's what I think it's referring to. Now, I think it could be actually a sin, a physical sin that leads to death. This would be a stupid decision. Standing in front of an 18-wheeler going 80 miles an hour and using that as a faith move. I'm going to have faith. God said I could move a mountain with a mustard seed, so I'm going to stand in front of this 18-wheeler going 80 miles an hour and I'm going to have the faith to stop it. You will be run over dead in a doornail. Because God needs to get someone that thinks that poorly out of here quick before they hurt themselves. Now, am I not telling the truth? I'm telling y'all the truth. You know why? Now, here's why I think like this. I know the Gospels. Jesus did not show off His power. He lived it. His power was His life. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. Can you handle this? His power was not His miracles. His power was His life. In fact, He says in the Gospel of John, He said, only an adulterous generation looks for signs and wonders. He said, I'm not looking for signs and wonders. I'm looking for believers who believe I'm the Son of God. Now, let me tell you, here's where my balance is. You find the Son of God and you're going to be all about signs and wonders. See how it works? But signs and wonders aren't the Savior. The Savior causes what? Signs and wonders. Here's a sign and wonder. Hillview Heights Church. How could so many people who don't go to church 10 years ago be going to church and loving Jesus now? Sign and wonder. Guess what? We've had people healed at this altar. I'm talking physically healed. Doctor didn't touch them. The Holy Spirit restored them. Guess what? Guess what the glory of that is? Jesus was crucified and resurrected. That's what made that possible. In fact, I remember the first time a blind person got healed. I'd never seen a blind person healed before. I'd read about it, so I knew it could happen. But I'd never seen one healed before. Well, Lord have mercy. Hear it in Bowling Green, Kentucky, at our altar at Hillview Heights Church, we had a blind person get healed. Well, I didn't know how to handle that, and back then I told every decision that was made, and so I just put it in the decision list. We had 4 people come to know Jesus Christ, we had 6 people join the church, and we had 1 blind person get healed. Hallelujah. Now, we'll be having potluck on Sunday night. And you know what? Somebody looked at me and he said, Pastor, you made that blind man being healed just like it was a normal thing. I said, it is when you follow Jesus. It is when you follow Jesus. Jesus seeing blind people see, that wasn't no big deal for Jesus. Do you know Jesus, after He healed somebody, He never went, Shazam, look at that. He never did that. You know, it never rocked Jesus' world. Have you noticed that? I mean, when Jesus started breaking the bread, He wasn't going, well, looky here, it just keeps coming and coming. How many of y'all know God knew what was going to happen before it happened? No, come on, let me preach a minute. God knew what was going to happen before it happened. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. Don't reject Jesus. And I do know this. If you reject Jesus, we don't have a prayer that can get you out of that decision. If you consciously decide to stay lost, guess what you'll be? Lost. Your mama can pray for you, but if you don't receive Jesus personally, guess what? You're going to die and go to hell. Is that clear enough? You can't pray people into heaven. Now, you can pray accurately and say, God, stir them. God, speak to them. God, open their minds up. But somewhere, every one of us had to make a conscious decision, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I did it. Now, y'all got to help me because guess what? Adam, in your generation, I ain't picking on your generation. I'm just making a statement. And if I'm wrong, you correct me right here, okay? Adam, in your generation, do you find nobody wants to accept their faults? Is that popular among the generation? Now, guess whose fault that is? My generation's fault. Because we excused our children. And we brought hell on earth. We did it! And it's not going to be fixed till we say, Lord, we did it. How many of y'all as a parent were more concerned about your child liking you than you were them going the right way? Lord have mercy. We're the biggest pill-popping, therapy-eyed generation that's ever seen humanity. Oh, I have parents come here. Oh, my daughter doesn't like me. She's not supposed to when she's 14. That's normal. What is abnormal is that you dress like her. And besides that, it's gross. And y'all don't need to be sisters. You need to be mother and daughter. Make sense? Blake will look at me and say, you need to wear your shorts like this. I said, I am old. I am wearing my shorts up on my thigh. I'm not wearing knee baggy looking pants down here. He said, well, Dad, you look like an old man. I am an old man. But I'm an old man that can bust your head. Don't forget that. See, you state truth. In the spirit, there is what? Truth. The other day, we were in the gym together, and he goes, I bet I can lift more than you. I said, I hope so. He said, why do you say it like that now? I said, you're fixing to have people that are 6'6", 300 pounds, bust your head. You better be getting strong. I said, I've looked at all our deacons. I can still outrun every one of them. I'm safe. You too, Merle. Don't be thinking. I can get you on. I'll twist, and that back of yours will give out. Lo, I'll get you on the front end and go hide behind a tree. It's a difference. Yeah, truth. Now, there's a sin that leads unto death. Here's what I'm saying. This is this type of sin. Do not rebel against God. And I'll tell you what I think, Jamie. After all of our study and all of our conversation and all of our prayer, I think the greatest sin is this. When we decide to be our own God. And I'll tell you why I think that. He goes on and says this. All wrongdoing is sin. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. In your spirit, you have no desire to sin. Stay there. And he goes on, and we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. We live where? Who is he who is true? The Holy Spirit. We know God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are in him who is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. And his last words are this. Dear children. Don't you love that? Dear children, or little children can be translated there. Stay, keep, remove yourself. All those words work there. Idols. Keep yourself from what? Idols. Now, Hillview, let me show you where this applies. If we stay in Jesus, if we stay with the water, and we stay in the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what we'll see here? We'll see, watch this. I've already told you we've seen blind people see. We've seen lame people walk. We've seen addicted people get set free. Praise God. We've seen people that couldn't be married stay married now for 20 years. Hey, sometimes the miracle is you finally found someone you can stay with. But guess what their problem was? They went through a bunch of marriages because they didn't have Jesus Christ ever in their marriage. Here's what I love about Hillview. I've got people that are midlife that are entering a brand new life because they've never come into a relationship with Jesus Christ as a leader. That's exciting. True? Here's the battle. Stay away from idols. And they're around us everywhere. True? Here's what an idol is. An object, a philosophy, a concept, or a system that wants to reign more powerfully in shaping your life than you allowed Jesus to. It's what we worship. And it's easy. Watch this. I'm just going to warn you. Don't ever worship Hillview Heights Church. Because it'll lead you astray. Worship Jesus in Hillview Heights Church. Now, is there a difference? Doesn't sound very different, though, does it? So the old devil, he'll come up to you. He'll go, "Hey, man, aren't you glad to be at Hillview?" And you tell him, "I'm glad to be in Jesus Christ at Hillview." "Well, wait a minute, man. Aren't you a Hillviewian? Aren't you all full of life and zeal?" "I am a follower of Jesus Christ who attends Hillview Heights Church, and I'm full of zeal because of the Holy Spirit." "But don't you think Hillview's just a little better church than all the other churches?" "Oh, no, Mr. Devil. We're born of the same water. We've been saved by the same blood. And we all fall in line in unity under the same Spirit. It's probably not as good as the rest of them. But all of us together know Jesus. And then go ahead and tell Him the truth. And one day we're going to stomp your big head when He blows a whistle." Now, you speak that kind of truth to the devil, and guess what's going to happen? Now you speak truth into him. You and I are part of the truth, and we need to be truthful. And God's doing great things here, and that's the truth. Let me give you one thing He's going to do. Bang up job. I want to thank y'all. I want you to praise Jesus Christ for this. 402 human beings are now connected to heaven and have confessed their faith in baptism since God stopped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to be aware of that, because guess what? That's big news. But guess what? We're fixing to have a bigger summer. Guess what I believe? Another 400 people between now and August can meet the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be 4,000. Don't you understand? We worship a Jesus that starts breaking bread and it never runs out. Unlike Pastor Keith, who can't even catch a fish. Jesus Christ! Keith, let me tell you how powerful God is. I believe this in Jesus Christ, and only by the blood and the water and the Spirit. I believe Jesus could even get with you, and if He wanted to, you could catch a fish only in the power of the Holy Spirit. We took Keith fishing Friday night. We've been catching fish all week. I'm talking a miraculous catch. I'm talking catching fish like they caught fish in the Gospel of John. We put Keith on the boat, and I thought his name was Jonah. I'm talking the wind started tossing the boat. Directions changed. I want you to know we didn't even see a fish on the graph. Even the fish that were near that water ran away to another part of the lake. They were talking to one another. Here comes Pastor Keith, and they left. I said, "Keith, we could throw you off this boat and a giant catfish swallow you and take you to the dam for 3 days and spit you up over there by Sawyer's boat dock. Jonah." But no, I really believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's even possible for you, Keith, to catch fish.
Thank you, Pastor Steve.
And if y'all have ever been fishing with Keith, you would know how deep my belief in Jesus goes to even speak that. There's a miracle. Now, I'll give you testimony. Rick, you were with us. Have you ever caught a fish with Pastor Keith? No. And you could go out in a hurricane and still catch something. That's not a curse. I think it's those fish see reflection of Keith's hair and run. That's just my opinion. That wasn't under the anointing right there. That's an opinion. Here's the truth. You ready? Stay away from idols. Amen? All right, we're done with 1 John. Did you learn this out of 1 John? Jesus Christ is the center of everything. Did you learn this out of 1 John? Loving one another is as important as loving Jesus. People are important. You love them. And keep on loving them. Do people make bad decisions? Yes. Have you made a bad decision? Have I made a bad decision? Absolutely. We're all in this together. We got to help each other get better. Did y'all hear that? Help each other get better. And the third thing is this. The Holy Spirit is absolutely real. It is our hope. It is our power. It is our truth. It is our purpose. It is what moves in here and shares us truth. And when we get truth, we get freedom. When we get freedom, we get a better life. Did y'all get that out of 1 John? And by the way, my beloved congregation who Jesus loves so dearly, stay away from idols. Don't let them get us. Don't let them get us. Don't let them get us. I got good news. Your giving gave us a few more pieces in the puzzle. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Huh? David, you got that puzzle? Wow, that's like Holy Spirit. Look at here, guys. Isn't that great? We only got 10 more pieces to go. Y'all cool with that? Y'all cool with that? It's $100,000 a piece. It's an expensive puzzle. So I appreciate your giving, your love. That building's going to be filled with kids. And I'm sorry, you're just stuck with a pastor that believes the next generation's got to know Jesus. And we're going to get on it. Because here's the dream. I want to see young people coming out of this church. Young people like Tyler Jones that go to college their first year, they make a difference on their campus. He grew up in his church. Got a whole crew going out to college. People like Chase Goff that are part of Spirit Masters and involved in their campus and making great grades. Praise God, that's testimony of the Spirit and the truth. People like Jordan Carter, got some good-looking girl to even go out with him after he graduated from high school. See? Huh? Lord will bless you, won't he, Jordan? If you stay what? In the truth of Jesus. Amen? Y'all okay with that? So here's my conclusion to 1 John. Live out the blessing that's already been given. As I went through this letter again, I got to thinking about my own life. And I think I spend too much time looking for a blessing. Anybody else like that? I keep asking God, I need a blessing here. And I think when I get quiet, I get beyond the music and get beyond the noise. God speaks into my head and He kind of taps me like this and He says, I've already blessed you. And I can't give you any more until you live out what you've already been given. Whoa. So Hillview, it's this simple. I want to ask us to go ahead and live out what we've already been given. And that's a lot in this congregation. And so let's just live it out. Amen. Y'all have been great today. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. And it surely has spoken to us today. And so Lord, may the word of God continue to speak into our lives as we live out worship this week. God bless our young people that are youth camp right now. They're in worship and they're jumping up and down, going crazy and meeting Jesus. So just bless them. And Father, I thank you they're going to be under such a great teacher in America for 4 days. And may they come back with strong truths of God. And Lord, we pray for anybody in this worship service today that does not have the Son, that today they're going to leave with Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, I want to give you an invitation. If you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, you have heard clearly today that you will not be connected to heaven's possibilities. Say, what do I need to do, preacher? This. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Here's how you know you're a sinner. How many of you have breached one of the Ten Commandments so far that you're aware of? How many of you all blew all 10? Okay, good. Just want you to know I'm an all 10. In fact, if you blew one, it says you blew all 10. You say, well, why did God do it like that? Just to keep you from being proud. Because I know what some of y'all go, you ain't never killed nobody. Then God goes, well, if you've ever hated anybody, it's the same as, oh, yeah, I killed somebody. Well, I've never committed adultery. I love that one. I've never committed adultery. All the religious people never committed adultery. Well, you know that Playboy you were staring at? Adultery. Because you wasn't looking at that Playboy from a physiological standpoint. I bet you didn't go, well, she has a nice muscular structure. I'm going to take this to anatomy class. It says if you lust in your heart, it's the same what? It's the same as. And God says we breach what's good for us. And so today, how many of you need to come and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. I believe you're for real. Come, Holy Spirit, into me. Wow. How many of you today just need to say, God, you know what? I've always been scared of this Holy Spirit lifestyle. And Spirit of God, speak into my life and let me just live in the power of your Spirit and not be fearful of it. Okay? I think there's an image of being filled with the Holy Spirit that's one-sided. Remember, God's already given you all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and He's given you all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And now He's given a command, live in the Spirit. The Spirit. Because it testifies to the Son. So if you need to come today and ask Christ in your life, please do that. Don't stay another week in hell. It's a bad place. It doesn't work out. Maybe you need to come because you need to be baptized. You've been following Jesus Christ, but you hadn't gotten obedient. Well, I don't know how you follow Him without being obedient. So you need to get that inconsistency straightened up. Maybe you need to come today and just pray and say, God, how many of y'all could come today and just pray and say, you know what? I'm thankful for the life that I live. You want to see a revival break out? I think we need to have a revival. Pastor Hill, I think we need to have a revival of appreciation. I don't think we appreciate things. I don't know about y'all, but I had breakfast this morning. Well, I didn't have breakfast, but I had coffee this morning. How many of y'all had something to eat or drink this morning? Give Him praise. How many of y'all drove in here in an air-conditioning car? How many of y'all drove in here in an air-conditioning car that had a DVD player so your kids wouldn't bug you on summer vacation? Blessed. Blessed. How many of y'all were in a house last night asleep? Blessed. How many of y'all already know what you're going to have for lunch? Blessed. How many of y'all plan on having supper? Blessed. How many of y'all on Weight Watchers because you're overblessed? See, that's the kind of world we live in here. Seriously. How many of y'all glad you got a job? Blessed. Bert, how many of y'all glad you get to retire from your job and go to work again? Amen. How many of y'all glad to know God's got a call on your life? Blessed. How many of y'all know this? On that day we shut our eyes and we take our last breath here on earth. That the moment our last breath here on earth ceases, that first breath will be in the glory of heaven. And we will be with the saints that have gone on before us. And then there'll be a moment where we finally see Him, not in this dim light, but in that great light, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings, will stand before us. And we will sing together in unity, O Lamb of God, O Lamb of God. Amen. Well, let's stand, let's rejoice, and let's let Jesus have His way.